we have throughout Lent talked about how life is a road, and how that is a metaphor for life, the journey or the road. And the end of the journey is the words that we heard today. Christ is indeed raised from the dead. Our journey is a journey through death to resurrection and new life. Throughout Lent, the journey that we reflected on was the journey of the prodigal son returning home. We long to arrive home, the fullness of life that is found in the presence of God, captured in the Father's words to his Son, "I am always with you, and all that I have is yours." In today's lesson, there were two disciples on the road to Emmaus, on their own journey. There are three things I'd like us to reflect on from this story. That Jesus is with us, whether we recognize him or not. Jesus is with us as we journey through life. That Jesus awakens our hearts. And that recognizing Jesus likely comes with some struggle and with some conflict. Jesus is with us, whether we recognize him or not. This story from Luke is primarily told so that we might know that there were witnesses to Jesus' resurrection from the dead, to Jesus physically rising from the dead, being seen and touched and heard, so that we would know that Jesus is alive. But at first, these disciples do not recognize Jesus. How could they? Jesus was dead. But these stories in the Gospels and the way they are told serve to increase the credibility of the witnesses. This story is unbelievable. No one, though, was expecting it. Their witnesses all experience doubt, shock, and fear. And only slowly does all of this give way to joy. It increases the credibility of this testimony, that they weren't expecting it, that somehow the story of Jesus wasn't invented to serve purposes that everybody was expecting or that these disciples had been taught to expect. No one was expecting it, and they are honest about that. But the disciples on the road failed to recognize Jesus on more levels than just a physical level. As they are walking along and talking to Jesus, it is clear they didn't recognize Jesus in the scriptures either. Jesus repeatedly defied everybody's expectations. He repeatedly surprised people when he met them. Having lived and listened to Jesus, they had failed to recognize who he was as well, what his purpose was, what his goals were. Consistently, the disciples and those around Jesus did not recognize him, did not understand who he was and what he was doing. In the beginning of the book of Acts, the disciples clearly still do not understand. After everything that has happened, the first words they say to him before the ascension are, "Now are you going to restore the kingdom?" They are still thinking in a very different way than Jesus. They're still struggling to recognize Jesus and to know him. It is no surprise if they struggled to know Jesus before he died, that they struggled to recognize him after his resurrection. This story resonates with many of us in the modern West. We sense as we journey through life that there is more to life than what we just see around us, than the goals that we're presented with. We sense that we are not alone, whether we are believers or not. The Christian philosopher Charles Taylor puts it this way: it is as if the world and our lives are haunted with the presence of God. The people around us cannot believe, and we struggle to believe, but at the same time we sense, we sometimes have an eerie feeling or an ache or a longing, for we don't know what, we don't know for whom. Modern Westerners also have such high hopes for the world, for their nation, and yet such horrific disappointments repeatedly. There are such high hopes that we'll be able to bring about a world of peace and of justice, There is a longing for sexual freedom, for self-discovery. There is such faith in technology and medical breakthroughs. In short, there are such hopes that now we will bring about the redemption of the world. And when the disciples say these words, we get it. When they say, we thought Jesus would be the one to bring about the redemption of Israel, we get it. We get the hope that they had for a better world and that sense that maybe this would be the time that it would come. And so we get their crushing disappointment when Jesus was crucified and buried. We get their despair. Every generation now, going back hundreds of years in the West, has had this hope that we are on the cusp of creating a perfect order, a perfect system, a perfect ideology, and we'll be able to bring peace. And every generation faces these hopes dashed with death and violence. We may have had such hopes even for our own lives and for those we love. And so we face this disappointment on a very personal level. And how else can one live but with hope and plans and expectations for life? And it's only natural that we might connect our hopes and plans with God's blessings and God's love for us. If God loves us and God cares for us, then clearly God must want the best for us. So clearly, when things are going well, this is a sign that there is a God who cares and is near me and loves me. So when things don't work out, as they hadn't worked out for the disciples on the road to Emmaus, when things turn to pain, when we are faced and burdened with grief or illness, when life is a struggle, we say, I had hoped that God would save me. It wasn't supposed to be like this. But throughout all of this, Jesus is there. Jesus is alive. They couldn't see him, but he was walking right beside them. They could have reached out and held his hand as they walked and listened. He was caring for them, gently waiting for the right way to open their eyes and to help them understand. He was watching over them, even in the midst of their confusion and in their pain. Jesus is walking with you as well, every day. Whether you recognize Jesus or not, he is there at your side, walking with you, listening to you, caring for you. Jesus is walking with you. And it is Jesus who awakens our hearts. Jesus said, did you not understand that from the scriptures that all of this had to happen to me? And then he began to explain, using the law and the prophets and the Psalms, how all of this was meant to be and had to happen in order to bring about the new creation. The disciples concluded at the end, didn't our hearts, or as it was from the Good News version, wasn't it like a fire in our hearts when he was speaking to us? Jesus must be the one himself to reveal himself to us. Jesus must take the initiative. I know that for those of you who have been in the Learning for Life class in Luke, and it's consistent throughout all the Gospels, that you've reflected on how Jesus is consistently the one who has to show people his hands and show people his feet, as if somehow these were hidden or not just there in plain sight. Jesus shows them. Jesus is the one who takes the initiative, who provides the invitation. He shows them his hands, his feet, his side. He sits and eats. He lets them touch him. The disciples on the road could not see Jesus. Jesus had to reveal himself to them. The disciples on the road didn't understand what the Bible said about Jesus. Jesus had to reveal it to them. Revelation is up to Jesus. There is nothing that we can do. There is no practice. There is no study. There is no amount of goodness or faith that we can muster up for Jesus to be revealed to us. It is a gift of grace. And therefore, if you know Jesus at all, it is a sign that Jesus knows you by name, cares for you, has chosen you, has spoken to you and is walking with you. If you know Jesus at all, if your heart has ever burned as you listen to the Scriptures, that is the work of Jesus reaching out to you and inviting you. Every step of recognizing Jesus a little bit more, of getting to know him a little bit more, is a sign that Jesus Christ is alive and is near you that moment. The disciples' hearts burned within them. They called to Jesus, "Don't go, stay with us." They started to sense his absence because he was with them, not because he was absent. They started to sense that he was distancing himself because he was right there and they knew him. He had helped them see. It is common for all Christians to go through periods where we feel as if Jesus is not there, where we suddenly feel a distance, an emptiness, a silence, and we conclude, God is absent from us. Something has distanced me from God. Something has happened and gone wrong. But counterintuitively, I would suggest that this stirring in our hearts of longing to be closer to God, this dissatisfaction with the distance we are sensing, is not a sign of the absence of Jesus, but rather that Jesus has drawn near to you in that moment, and you're suddenly your heart is stirred to know him more. It is not a sign of his absence, but it is his activity, his care for you. He appears in those moments because we are seeking him in our hearts. But if Jesus is the one doing all of this, then why is it so hard often? If Jesus is the one who chooses to reveal and reveals himself, if Jesus is the one calling and inviting, why shouldn't it just happen? Why would there be any struggle at all if the one who can create and heal with just a word is the one speaking to us? And yet recognizing Jesus is often a struggle. Luke gives us a few lessons from the struggles the disciples faced as they tried to recognize Jesus. The first is, of course, just rational doubt. People do not rise from the dead, especially the way Jesus rose from the dead. But Kaylee spoke to this last week. I invite you to watch her sermon again if you want to think about how we face our own doubts, our rational doubts. There is also, though, a conflict between our plans and goals and purposes and the goals and purposes and the plans of God. The disciples said, "We thought he would be the one to do this thing that they were expecting." In other words, they thought Jesus is going to restore a political kingdom. Jesus is going to restore the power and the prestige of Israel among all the nations. Jesus is going to accomplish this within history. They had their own ideas. And this caused a conflict with what God was actually bringing about through Jesus. You don't look like the Messiah we were told to look for. You're not what we were looking for or watching for. It's hard to recognize you. And we have a similar conflict in our lives. We expect God to do certain things for us, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, and that leads us to conflict with what Jesus is, who Jesus actually is, and what God is actually trying to bring about in our lives. Jesus walks with us and invites us to know him, but it is hard for us to submit to his plans and to his agenda. But there are darker reasons that we find ourselves struggling to recognize Jesus. To recognize Jesus and to know him more is to submit to his will morally. And there are things that sometimes we want to hold on to, things that we don't want to let go of, but that we must if we are to stay in relationship with Jesus. And there's a fourth thing, shame. I heard the story of a pastor who in their own church found out about things that were happening that should not be happening and spoke to the leadership. And the leadership would not listen and so spoke to the entire congregation. There was resistance and the attack was intense. Friends abandoned her and attacked her. But once all was out in the open and was finally being addressed, People understood that she had done the right thing, the only way forward. There was slowly reconciliation. She said that she suddenly understood the resurrection stories in a new way. It was painful for my friends to spend time with me after that. It was awkward at first and tentative. They had rejected me. They had publicly attacked me. In a word, they felt shame and pain whenever I was with them. When I saw in the resurrection stories, I saw Jesus returning slowly into the lives of his dearest friends who could or must even have felt such terrible shame. And therefore, I saw Jesus doing so, reintroducing himself into their lives slowly, gently, and graciously, meeting them, but then giving them time alone, meeting them again, trying to rebuild their trust. To disciples, this happened. Does shame prevent any of us from approaching Jesus? Does shame prevent any of us from walking beside him? Does shame prevent any of us from coming forward to the table and eating his meal? We can trust Jesus with our most painful failures. Pride also can lead us to reject asking for Jesus' help. Our logic, our reason wants us to say no, that this isn't possible. The resurrection cannot have happened. And it's hard for us to ask Jesus for help. Pride can lead us to reject submitting to the common means that Jesus uses for all of us to know him more. Prayer is not for me. That's not the kind of person I am. Communion isn't when I meet Jesus. It's not a big deal if I miss it. The Bible is really for others. It's old, it's confusing, it never really speaks to me. But these are the ways that Jesus uses, the common means for all of us to get to know him and draw nearer to him. And in fact, the disciples modeled for us in this story how to accept Jesus' invitation and to recognize him in our lives. They opened up to him as they walked along. They opened up their hands and they spoke honestly and directly to Jesus about their disappointment, about their doubts, about their confusion, about all the ways they disagreed with God. In a sense, they were saying with open hands, "Here is why we can't see you right now, Jesus." They also looked and listened to Jesus as they read the Bible. This was more than study. More than just trying to understand it, it was understanding that as they read, they were reading about Jesus who was near them and alive, that the Bible was speaking about him and that he was speaking to them through the Bible. And finally, they ate his meal, the Lord's Supper, communion, the Eucharist. They understood when they ate that meal, suddenly their eyes were opened and they saw Jesus. They understood that there was a close connection between this meal, the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the wine, and seeing Jesus. Who are you looking for? Is Jesus walking beside you? And what are you willing to do to recognize Jesus, to learn to know Jesus more? We may not recognize him. We may not understand all the time. But Jesus is alive, and he is walking with us. The Father says, "I am always with you, and all I have is yours." Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, "I am with you to the end of the age." And the Holy Spirit says, "I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come and live within you." Thanks be to God. Amen.